Yet David declared unto the Father, he said, the works of his hands are verity and judgment. If those are the works of Yahweh, they are works that are sure, and they are works of judgment. And he said this now, and all his commandments are sure. Amen. Every one of Yahweh's commandments, they are sure. And there is no doubt about what he has commanded us to do. And that is to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, all of our strength. First, when a man truly loves him, he keeps his statutes, his saying, because it produces a profound wisdom in a man's soul. That is not bound by the natural laws of the land. It's not bound by the circumstances. That's a liberty. Why? Because he is in the Father. And the Father's in that man. And the Father will lead that man into all truth. He doesn't lead him into partial truths. He leads him into all truth. And that man will know the truth of whom Messiah is and the purpose of Messiah. And once the man understands that he is so grateful, he rejoices so, that he is free from every shackle of sin and the law of darkness. You ask yourself, are we truly free from that? That power doesn't rule and cause us to walk in areas and places we ought not to walk. I believe what Scripture says, for whom the Son makes free, he is free. Free. Free indeed. But a man has been bound by chains in slavery. And the master say, you're free. No attachment. Here's the papers. Here's the papers to say you're free. And that's what Messiah has done with the blood-stained banner. He said, you're free. And this is not a free people. It's not a free generation. It's bound by every kind of law, every kind of spirit. And yet they lift their hand and say, I praise him. They're not praising him. And out of the same breath, they go praise a ball player. They run and shout over basketball. They sit down and give themselves over unto evil things in their eyes, and the spirit's consuming that. They're not free. They're bound. They are still in darkness. They're in darkness. They don't know Messiah. And they're not free. But a man is free by this truth. He has eyes in him, and it is the vision of Almighty Yahweh. He doesn't steer him wrong. He steers him right. For some reason, we think by and by we're going to get it right. He paid the ultimate price, and he did it right one time. There's no getting it right. We just do it right by obeying Yahweh's commandments. And when there's a pure law for him, we will do what he said. When there is no pure law for him, we will disobey him and do what we want to do. And that's why you got schisms and sin. That's why you got havoc. That's why you have all these things transpiring in the name now of this quote God that they think they know, unquote. Jezebel's spirit today is taking havoc. Like Jezebel, that weak thing she had as a man. Sure he was. Naboth. Weak. And that's what the spirit is doing today. It's a Jezebel spirit. And it's not the spirit of Yahweh. Nah. For he leads and guides us into all truth. He doesn't want you going outside of him. Because in him he will satisfy everything. In him he will satisfy everything you need. Joy he supplies. Life would be worthless without him. All things in him I find. He doesn't want you going outside of him. You try to find it in everything, but you're not going to find it. 1 John. All of his commandments are sure. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. John said, and hereby, we do know, there's an understanding without doubts, we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. That is how a man knows that he know him. He knows him by keeping the commandments of Yahweh. This generation has told us that those things were for the old days. They're still pertinent. They're real. Not just those commandments, but every word that He speaks. We must understand that the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. And men today do not possess wisdom. And the scripture says, and good understanding are all they that keep His commandments. Good understanding. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. And good understanding are all they that keep His commandment. When a man keeps His commandments, he has good understanding. This generation has no understanding. There's no enlightenment. Very little knowledge. They reason with flesh. They reason with carnality. But there's very little understanding. But a man has understanding, there's a profound knowledge. And that knowledge brings strength. And it's one thing that knowledge does, it brings a strength to a man or a person. When a child realizes that they can count to 10, they don't want mother, father assisting them. There's an understanding of that numeric order, and they take delight in doing that, and there's a sense of power when they can do it. And only when a man gets the fear of Yahweh, how does he get that? When he sees these laws and these righteous statutes, his heart begins to gravitate to those things, for in that he will find the power of that truth. And that's why there's very little anointing today. You say what you will, say what you want. There ain't no anointing. It's flesh. All that crying doesn't personify no anointing. Because Esau, he sought repentance carefully with tears. And there was no place to find it. He couldn't find it. When a man truly loves the Father, he would hear the laws and the commandments of the Father. He will give his heart over unto that. And once he does that, it will begin to bring judgment upon him. It will judge him. It will show him. It will begin to refine him and put him in the fire. This corrupt generation is just like those that received the king's dainties. But Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego did not. They did not receive the food of the king. And the king of this earth, the God of this earth, he is bewitching the minds of the people. Their minds are bewitched. There are very few. There's very little faith today in the earth. Very little today. Very little. And if I don't allow his truth to judge my heart, then I will not have faith. There are questions that I ask even myself. Why? Is it worth it, Father? And yet for my soul, I know it's worth every bit of it. For my soul. For once a man leaves this life, there's no turning back. None. None. He's locked into eternity. And there is no turning back at all. Period. None whatsoever. He said, and hereby we will know that we know him if we keep his commandments. John said, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth continuously abiding and walking not in his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. You can reject that. You can say what you will. But if a man says he knows him, and walketh not in his commandments, that man is a liar. And there is no truth in him. He said, Malachiah, you tell them, they have profaned my name and rejected it. Because they will not give glory unto my name, I will even bring a curse upon them. And not only bring it, but the curse is already upon them. Because they reject my commandments. The commandment was give glory unto his name, and he hasn't changed that. As Messiah said, Father, glorify thy name. He said, no, no, have I glorified, but I will do it again. And in this hour, he's going to do it again. That Yahweh, the name of the Father, is going to be glorified in his people. In that little body. Who stood with him to glorify the Father on the cross? All those sisters, Mary, Mary and Magdalene, they stood afar off. The one that said, though all men deny you, I won't do it. If I saw y'all sit before the cock crow, you're going to deny me thrice, Peter. And he did just what Messiah said. And before even the trial began, we have denied him. We have denied his name. We have denied his word. We have denied his commandments, his truth. We have denied the essentials of his character and whom he is. And any man and any God, any Elohim, the power of his anointing is that his name stands in a memorial unto every generation. And men declare him by that memorial. For his name is a memorial. His name is everlasting. That's the power. That's his strength. He's given us a name. Of every name. And that every tongue in the earth will say it the same. Every tongue in the earth will say it alike. Every tongue. I don't care if it's Russian, China, Japanese. They all say it alike. Yahweh. It is the same. It is the same. David said, listen to this in Psalms 119, verse 6. I said, they want to read it. I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 3. David said, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. People are ashamed today because they don't have respect unto all of his commandments. You know, young man, and I'm talking to you, John. The scripture says, for you to obey your parents in your way. I recall that day, even as Brother had a little difficult with his father. I showed him what the scripture says about a young man dishonoring his father. Why die before your time? And when young men do that, they're going to die. And I watch, even in that hour, I watch a tremendous change in the young man's spirit. I saw it. And I showed him in scripture what scripture said. You always give us parents of the faith. You obey them. I would never in all my life, I've never done what this young man has done to an elder. Not even to a drunkard or a sinner. What did to me that day, I've never done that to any man. I've never. The way these folks have lied on me, I've never done that. I told you all about the episode with Evangelist Hartsfield. You've never heard me speak really evil against him. Even with R.G. Stair, what he did was wicked and vile. But you haven't heard me really speak against him. Apostle Rogers there in Charlotte, what the man did to me over these perverts. And where are they to be found today? That turned the man's heart against me. Because there's a greater judge. And you're going to be judged by him. And that's the truth. And as a young man, you always bless me. To understand his truth. To lead me. And to guide me. And I'm grateful for that. I'm glad. I'm glad. I'm glad. It's opened my heart to receive him without disputation, without disputing him, trying to prove him right. I can't prove him right. No more than you. You can't prove him wrong. No more than I can. He's just who he says he is. That's settled. You can't prove him and you can't disprove him. We just live by faith that he is alive and there's a lively hope in us. We're not worried about trying to prove it to them. He's proven to me. That's all that matters. So in that I can save myself. How? About keeping his commandments and obeying his commandments. Save myself from this corrupt generation. And that's the truth. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 23. It says, and this is his commandment, Yahweh. See, this is his commandment, one. That ye should believe on the name of his son, Yahshua Messiah, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. And look what he says in verse 24. And he that keepeth his commandments. See, this is the commandment he's given unto us. That we should believe that this begotten of the Father, that he was truly Yahweh, and that he came in his Father's name, and that the power of that body was revealed unto us, his commandments. He said, and this is, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abide in us. By the Spirit which he has given unto us. That's how we know he abides into us. He abides in us because He leads us in His commandments and guides us in His truth and His laws and His righteousness. And men today, they despise His commandments. David said this. Listen to this. Listen to what it says in Psalms 119, 127. Hear the word of Yahweh. Listen to what it says. It said, therefore, David said, I have loved thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. He said, I've loved your commandments above gold, above fine gold. Do men love his commandments today? David said, I have loved your commandments above gold, yea, fine gold today. Messiah said to the young rich ruler, share what you have. And to those that are deprived in spirit, you give. And come follow me. And you will have an eternal, everlasting, glorious place to abide. And because he had possessions, because he had his own will, his own place, his own things, his own monies, his own little comforts, he reasoned within his carnal mind, and he said, I can't do that. That makes my heart sorrowful. Same thing today. Folks cannot give up this world for him. If any man love the world, then the love of Yahweh is not in the world. And what is the love of the world? They have set before you their wicked trinkets, their activities and their splendor of events and activities that produce death. You abide in their feasts, unrighteous days, for gluttony of spirit and flesh. And yet they can't even honor the days of Yahweh, the Shabbat. They can't even thank him in the morning. But they will go out here in the droves this weekend. They will die on the highways just to go at the satisfied flesh. They will not darken the house of Yahweh. They will not lift their hands and say, bless you, for you have taken me on the highway safely. They will cry out in their curse words and the filth of their minds. How they will damn their old God, God damn, and damn this. They will do that. And yet there will be no thankfulness in their hearts. The same thing with his people. No different. Number 7. Satan knows that it works in the world. So he's brought it into the house. Why? Because we have not been careful to guard the house. We have not guarded our ears and our spirits. We have not guarded this mind of Messiah. So we have allowed every kind of intrusion to come in. Every kind of false spirit, every kind of false thing, we've allowed it to come in. Every kind of feeling, every kind of emotions, we've allowed that to supplant the commandments of Yahweh. And we think our feelings or emotions are a proof sign of our love. You are a flat out liar. If any man does not keep the commandments of Yahweh, then the love of him is not in that liar. He's a liar. And no truth dwells in him. It's the only way men are going to know that we're truly his people. That we keep his commandments. The commandments say to love our brothers. Hereby will all men know you are my disciples, what Messiah said. That ye have love one toward the other. But he said that men will know you are my people when you keep my commandments. Look at 1 John chapter 5. Verse 2. He says this. By this, 1 John chapter 5 verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of Yahweh. We will know we love one another. For we love Yahweh and keep his commandments. We will know whether we have love one for the other. We truly love him and we keep the commandments of Yahweh. David said, thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed. Psalms 119 and 21. He has rebuked the proud, because they are cursed. Whom do err from thy commandments? Now that's what the proud do. They err from the commandments of Yahweh. And this is a proud generation. It's full of pride. They're proud of their sons and their daughters. They're proud of their football playing nephew. They're proud of their basketball playing Jezebel little niece. And you always say they're cursed. Because they don't keep my commandments. And they don't stand up against that sin and that perversion and that pollution. They give more glory unto those things than they do the word of Yahweh. This world is in a frenzy with things like that. It's not enough of the sporting activities, basketball, baseball, all year round. And they give themselves over unto it. They love it because their minds are so simple. That's all the devil is going to give them. What do you think he's going to give these young folks? Nothing but a basketball game. What do you think he's going to give the daughters? Nothing but a short dress with their... What do you think he's going to give the young men? Nothing. He's not going to give them one thing at all. He doesn't have to give them anything. Their minds are simple. Foolish. He knows what it takes to rob them of their souls. And what do you think these fathers and these ones that think that they're following your way and they know what they're doing? What do you think they're giving their sons and daughters? Sin and hell. Death. Taking them down to the courtroom of sin, saints. That's why they let them do everything. That they no restraints now. None. None. Something is wrong. There must be restraint on your son. You must. Has to be. When one says, I can do what I want to, you know that that father, that mother cares nothing about that soul. And so they give them over to everything. They put the evil things before their eyes. And they fill their souls with that pollution, that their minds become darkened, that they begin to despise Yahweh. Once a man comes to the knowledge of the truth, he rejects that. They want his soul. Woe unto him. That's where the woes began. That's where the terrifying woes began. When a man understands a certain knowledge of truth and he defies them, woe unto that man. Surely a saint. Woe unto him. Woe. Woe. He says in verse 3, for this is the love of Yahweh. For this is the love of Yahweh. 1 John 5:3. That we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. They're not burdensome. They're not hard. They're not tasteful. That we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. David said, I will run the way of thy commandments. When thou shalt enlarge my heart, he said, I will run the way of your commandments. How does he enlarge our hearts? By reminding us and telling us to keep his commandments, his laws. By showing us in scripture the things that we must obey. And when a man hears those things, his heart is enlarged. He gets excited that the Father will literally speak unto him. David said, I will run the way. I will run the way of your commandments. When thou hast enlarged or made my heart open unto your commandments. And the more he keeps the commandments, the more his heart grows in love with Yahweh's truth. That's how it is, saints. And the more you keep the world present before you, the more you're going to aspire and love the world. Sure it is. We can't put our hands to the plow and turn our backs. We're not even fit for the kingdom of Yahweh. He is known by his name, not Lord, not God, not even Elohim, Adonai, Yahweh. He has a name. He has a name. He has one. He's going to establish in the hearts of only his people. Verse 4 says, for whosoever is born of Yahweh overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcome the world but he that believeth that Yahshua is the Son of Yahweh? Those are the ones that truly believe that. And when a man truly believes that, he can see, well, that example was given unto him that he's more than able to do what the Father says. He's able to walk circumspectly as he always commanded us to walk and to do those things that please him. We search our own lives and look at our own lives. Are you truly pleasing him? Are your activities truly pleasing him? No, when you murmur, complain, you're not pleasing him. When you're not thankful, he said, in all things give him thanks. That's a commandment. When you don't give him thanks in all things, you're not pleasing him. And so that's all he must do. He must do a surgical removal from the hearts of his people. Those vile things have kept them bound of the captivity whereby they're so liberty to truly bless him and to worship him. How is your worship? Is there liberty or is there such a mechanical, methodical thing done? Is it because it's mechanical and not spiritually led? For the Father seeks such to have that liberty to just pour their souls to him and say, I love you, Yahweh. This is not some phantom or some imaginable thing. This is real, saints. This is real. He has sent his son. And he said, when you reject that, that's why he's going to pour such wrath. Because men have rejected that work and that body. He said, I've done something that no one could have done, not even an angel. I did that. Did you reject me? Did you reject me? Wrath is going to be poured out without measure upon this earth. It is. And it's coming. Whether you believe it or not, it is coming. With vengeance, and it's not far off. It's not far off. It's here. Even at the door. Even at the door. Ah, there's in peace and safety. Oh, destruction. The winds of hell are going to churn in this nation. Like never before. The young ones are rebellious and wicked. They defy every law. The parents have no purity of your way. And they give them over unto the powers of hell because there's no stricting them for them to regard the things of your way. Do they become broken? Do there's a will to combat that? You with children pray, come Master, that your sons and daughters don't grow up. You can look amongst us, the ones that have left, and see what spirits are captivating them. And the reason why, because I say to you that are having children, you parents better become sanctified. I'll never forget, as Evangelist Hartsfield said to me 23 years ago, he said, Brother Roberts, he said, these children that are being born today, he said, they've been filled with powers of darkness at birth. That's why there's such illegitimacy out of wedlock, birth, and sin. He said, the powers of darkness, as soon as they're born, they feel them. And before they're two or three, they have personalities. They do. They do. And what the wicked parents and grannies do, they hone that. Look at little Jimmy. Come on, shake your thing. They hone it. Ah. They hone it. And they sharpen that for them. They do. And that's what they're rebellious and wicked. And they know, Satan knows that the world will show them how to do it right. That the world is showing them how to do it right. Sure it is. Save your house. Your parents. There better be fervent prayer. Fervent prayer. You better learn how to get on your faces and pray. And seek the Father. And do that which is righteous. It's more than some little cuddly thing you think is cute. We've had enough of that. And yet they have turned out to be monsters. The same little cute ones, cuddly. You better pray. You better cry. Yahweh, come. Come. There was two. Yet unborn. Esau and Jacob. Yet he loved Esau. And he despised Jacob. He sets in the family the solitary one that he brings out. None other that he saves. None other. None other. None other. And he's doing that today. Whether you want to receive it or not, that's him. He will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. Not all your tears are going to change that. All your crying is not going to change one thing at all. He will have mercy on whom he will. He will love whom he will too. David said, I will delight myself in thy laws and thy commandments, which I have loved. Psalms 119:47. He said, I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Men today don't love his commandments. They don't love the instructions of this righteous Yahweh. But David said, I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved them. Why? And how could he love it? Because the love of the Father was in him. But Yahweh doesn't despise his words. What he speaks is life, and he is love. And everything he's spoken is him. And if he deny any part of his word, then he denies him. And he can't do that. Man, in this hour, he must love the commandments, the laws, the instructions, the wisdom of Yahweh. And he must walk in that. He must walk in it. He tells you how to raise your children. He tells you what to love and what to reject. He tells you what to cleave to and what to reject. He tells you all those things. He tells you what to lay your hands on and not to lay your hands on. He tells you what to be a part of and what not to be a part of. He tells you don't be a partaker of another man's sin. He tells you not to bless the wicked. About that bless the wicked, call them righteous and condemn the righteous. Even they both an abomination. And you will strengthen the heart of the unrighteous. And you got about the straw that you do righteously, then you will condemn him. They are both an abomination. You are an abomination. He said, what you are saying, actually, they're abominable, they're filthy. You come against the righteous man, you strengthen the wicked. He said, don't you know the abominations in you? That's why he tells you to lay sudden hands on no man. Don't lay hands suddenly on no man. And don't be a partaker of another man's sin. That's what he tells us. And yet we go beyond that. Why? Because we don't love his commandments. And we don't know the scriptures. You better begin at the book, the beginning. You got to understand how he did all things in order to understand how all things are going to be finished. So you got to go back. You got to go back and begin to study and begin to read. And you just can't pick a little bit out of the new, and that's it. Or a little bit out of the old. This is one volume. Amen. And he came in the volume of this. No, I'm not contradicting to say that those interpretators of the King James, they put words in that it should not. They did. Yet he revealed by his Spirit in this hour, just like those scribes, when they began to write scripture, when they would mess up, when that same parchment will come back, they will clarify that. I can do it today. I can give Brother Dave something to say by the time it goes through this whole crowd. It's a different thing when it comes back. He is truth. There's no lie in him. None whatsoever. None. It's contradictory. No, it's not contradictory. His name is Yahweh. It's not Jesus. That's a fact. Truth. He has one name, and his name is of the Father. When you find the Father's name, you will find Messiah's name. Tell me the Father's name, you got Messiah's name. And not that my name is Lord God, that is my name. My name is Yahweh, that's my name. That's not even a name. Blessed be the Lamb forevermore. The scripture says in 2 John, chapter 1, verse 5. All my commandments are faithful. Everything he says is faithful. Because he's faithful. All thy commandments are faithful. All thy commandments. 2 John chapter 1 verse 5. John said to the elect, he said, and now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee. 2 John chapter 1 verse 5. But that which we lay before from the beginning now, that we love one another. That was from the beginning. He said from the beginning of the scriptures. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as we have heard from the beginning, that we should walk in it. From the beginning. We've heard this from the beginning. And Yahweh had no beginning. Or no end. And from the beginning it was that. We do that which he's commanded from the beginning. And keep his laws, his word, his commandment. They are his sayings, saints. His laws. They're his wisdom. What a wisdom. Yet you find those folks down there in Mississippi, Alabama. I looked at the pictures, the women in shorts. Men land down, prostrate, and yet they're corrupt, they're vile, they're wicked, and they're whorehouses. And they're concerned about this stone being moved out of the courthouse. And yet they, even their own hearts, they don't even keep the law of Yahweh. And there was a sign just like this out there. It says, I am. And in big letters it had that Yahweh. And they won't even call his name. I am Yahweh, your God. That's what it said in the USA Today of the day. Big stone like two of them. I am now. But they had this. I said, how amazing. And yet these folks in their foolishness, they don't even see that. They don't even know him. They're more concerned about Judge Moore. This man that has political aspirations. These are stepping stones for him. It's not because they love the Father. They get drunk and they will do their sin. Women in pants and shorts. Men dressed like perverts. Talk about they love Yahweh. It's not a nation that is based upon the pure laws of Yahweh. Based upon the greed of man. And lost in his greed. Oh, they may use the scriptures, but that doesn't make it right. Men do that all the time. These whorehouses do it all the time to rob the hearts of the people. You don't bring an offering or a gift this time. You feel sluttish and feel like a dog. And they use Malachiah. You don't bring it in, you're cursed. That's why some of y'all are cursed. Is that true? If that's true, then we're cursed if we don't glorify his name too. No different. Every word of Yahweh is pure. Therefore, his servants, they love him. You're not a servant if you don't love it. He gives us pastors after his own heart. I'm glad I'm not after my heart. Because I sat on that bench this morning. My wife asked me, what was I doing? I came and I just sat in the cool. And I watched the ants as they maneuvered. And as they traversed the course of their little place. And then even in my natural mind, as I began to question myself, do I do this? What do I do, Father? Help me. Help me. In delusion and doubting. And yet, he gave me this preaching. I see why. For David said here, Psalms 119, verse 143. He said, trouble and anguish have taken hold of me. It has your way. Yet thy commandments are my delight. I'm going to do what he tells me to do. Trouble and anguish have taken hold of me. Yet his commandments, they are my delight. That's what I will rejoice in. I will preach this truth. I will be instant in season and out of season. I will reprove and rebuke. I will do that with all long suffering and doctrine. That even you, if you're a man of Yahweh, may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all of his good works. So trouble and anguish fill my heart this morning. But yet in the comfort of his truth today, his commandments are my delights. For in that I find a love for him above a love for myself. And above a love for flesh. Because I'm crucified with him daily. Every day I'm crucified. Every day I'm crucified. A little more of me die each day. A little part of me die. That he may be fulfilled and complete in me. And that's the whole issue. That he may be made known in this natural tabernacle. That he may dwell here. And if he's in the midst of this house, and he will lead us into that garden of Eden, that garden of peace, and that garden of resolve, and that garden whereby we know we have comfort, saints, and very little comfort today. That's why you got so many doctrine and so many beliefs today. Who's leading? Who's leading? That's why you have men to disperse and go their way. Because they have not thoroughly searched the scriptures. They have not sought Yahweh. They get a little piece of something, and then they will dispute truth over peace. Because it doesn't bring about some kind of sense of comfort to their flesh. I don't want any comfort to my flesh. I'm not looking for that. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for truth. And he is truth. He is. He is. I don't believe that Yahweh would allow me. I don't believe that. When a man is sincere and desire to please him, he's not going to allow us to be taken into a darkened captivity. I don't believe he'll allow me to do that. I have enough fear and enough understanding and enough wisdom in my heart that I know he will not allow me to do that. I know he won't. He won't allow me to do it, saints. He won't. And you will know whether I'm doing that by fruit. You will know a tree by the fruit it bears. And you will search me and judge me to make sure my fruit are accorded and in appliance with scripture. And what he says. And if they're not like that, then search yourself and make sure yours are that way. And then you bring judgment upon the man of Yahweh. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. You do it that way. And if you don't do it that way, then the dogs are going to eat your bones, all right? I want to read from Revelation as I began to close. Revelation chapter 12. And verse 13 down through verse 17. And this is the great trial of Israel in this tribulation. We the house of Yahweh. We are His people. John said, when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings as a great eagle, and she might fly into the wilderness, into her place now. There was a specific place for her, where she is nourished for a time at a time, and a half time from the face of the serpent. There must be a time, my friends, that we must be nourished from the face of this onslaught of this wicked thing of darkness. There's a time that you must be nourished from that serpent spirit that you allow to bring you into captivity. You give strength, your flesh, your enmity against Yahweh because you're carnal. To be carnally minded is enmity against Yahweh because you're carnally minded. And so Yahweh brings this woman to a place whereby she's nourished for a period of time. She's strengthened. He did it with Messiah. When Satan buffeted him and tried him, the scripture says that the angels came and they ministered unto him for a time. And then he went in the spirit unto Galilee. And so the same thing for us. That we're going to have to be nourished for a time. And then we're going to go before the presence of the Father. And he said that the serpent cast out of his mouth waters of flood after the woman. We are the floods of doctrines, floods of all kinds of Christianity. What a trash that is. There's so much diversity, quote, to Christianity, unquote, that it is sad. He said, cast out the floods after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And that's what these floods today are doing. They're carrying people away by these religious activities and this religious aura. It doesn't produce a testimony now. The only thing it produces, I want to thank the Lord for the bishop. I want to thank the Lord for the pastor. I want to thank Jesus Christ for all the good things He's done to me. I want to thank the Lord for His praise. Oh, amen, amen, amen. That's all it produces. I want to thank the Lord that He brought me out of sin. That He blessed me. Amen, amen, amen. And He did a good thing to me. And then you go right back in sin. You go back to your own corrupt, wicked ways. That's all they have. There's no testimony of power. A testimony makes a man free. It gives a man a liberation out of his soul. And Messiah is that testimony of power. And the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. This is in verse 17. And the dragon was wroth. And that's when the anger came. He saw that the woman, this entity of Yahweh, was not taken by his floods. This onslaught. And that's what they're trying to do. The flood of emotions. The flood of your thoughts. They're trying to overtake you, saints. And Yahweh just allowed the earth to open his mouth. This earthly vessel to open up his mouth and just swallows it up. And you cast it out as dung. That's what he does. And the dragon was wroth with the woman. Very angry. And went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Just the remnant, the whole. Which kept the commandments of Yahweh and have the testimony of Yahshua, salvation. He was wroth with that remnant. There's only a small remnant today. There's only a small seed. You know Yahweh is going to save the house of Israel because of the promise unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's going to do that because He's promised that. So He is going to do that. He's going to save a people out of those 12 tribes of Israel. Because He said it. And by His immutability, He cannot lie. And yet there's a remnant that keeps the testimony, that keeps the commandments. And they keep that testimony that that's my hope, Messiah. It's not in grandmama and granddaddy, not in old time religion. It's in Him. And they keep that testimony. And Satan is furious against them because they have a testimony of life in their souls. And those are the ones. He doesn't care about those ones that don't have no testimony. He let them go on about their ways. Have their chicken fries and their chitlin struts. Their pig feet dinners. He lets them go right on. He lets them walk in their prejudice, their lies, the corruption, the deceitful doctrine. They're not the remnant of your way. They're not. For the remnant keep his commandments. And they have the testimony of Messiah. He's alive, and he came to reveal and to bring glory and to declare the name of the Father. That's the remnant. So he was angry with them, and he tried to overcome them, but Yahweh is going to lift up a standard. The last chapter here, Revelation 14, verse 12. May he bless and keep you today. I'm just going to read that one verse. But this, from verse 9 to verse 12, it deals with those that really have worshipped the beast. And there's a death. And there's an announcement upon them. Let me begin at verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and the image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of Yahweh, which is poured out without mixture in the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. Folks can say what they want to, but that's what Scripture says. Man that is worshiping this beast image today, their torment is going to ascend forever and ever. Now that's what Scripture says. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image. And look at this. And whosoever receives the mark of his name. He has a name. And they're going to glorify his name. He has a name. And the Scripture says, here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Messiah. That's our strength. That's our love toward him, because we keep his commandments and we know his commandments abide in us and he is in us because we love his commandments. And that testimony of Messiah gives us hope even in doing those things that he commands us to do, that there's life in obeying. For obedience is better than any kind of sacrifice. There's nothing any greater than obedience. When a man obeys, then he has an understanding of truth. When a man submits and obeys, there's a love for truth. When a man will obey, then he knows that in the power of that truth is where his life and his hope is. And that is why today he has caused men to disobey, Satan has. And there's not much obedience today. It is nurtured from a child. It's nurtured in them. And that's why youngers today, as they use the expression, the old folks will say they're bad youngins. They have not been brought up right. May Yahweh bless you today and give you strength and peace. I have a sense of strength in my soul. May not feel good in my flesh, but in my soul there's an anointing. And I bless the Father for that. I'm going to continue on Wednesday on the salvation roads. I wanted to get that in today because Yahweh dealt with my heart. I was talking with Brother Allen, Brother Jason last night concerning this, and I went home and I began to search the Scriptures. I like searching the Scriptures, saints. I said to my wife, I got to get up. I can't lay here. There's a fire turning down on my soul, so I got to sit down with the Father. I don't want to read books. I don't have time for that. He told us to search the Scriptures, for in them. I don't have time for books. I don't have time for historical books. Yes, I read the papers, and there are little pieces of information I pick up by just studying things. But as far as being engrossed with having an understanding of certain things, I don't give myself over unto that. Only truth makes a man free. Nothing else. I don't care about no genealogy or my historical or my place and family lineage. I have one family. They came unto Messiah and said, your mother, your brother outside waited for thee. He lifted his hand and he did this. Who is my mother? Who is my brother? Amen. They did do the will of my Father. That's his law. Amen. They are mothers and I'm brothers. They don't do the will. They're not my brother and my sister. They have no kinsman attachment to me. And I say that with all honesty of heart. I don't have no sleepless nights behind that. I'm not troubled by that.
I don't have to see never in all of my life any one of my natural kinsmen. It doesn't trouble me one bit. I'm not looking to see them and don't care if I ever see another one of them. If they get saved, sure enough, you always see them. They will seek me out. And they get saved. Well, we're going to have to save someone. No, as Osteen would say, he that win his soul is wise. And a wise man knows how to win soul. That's scripture. That's not Stare saying. That's scripture. And Yahweh in this hour, as he did, as he poured out the Spirit, he added. That's what scripture says. He added daily unto this image, such as we've added everything. Our sons, our daughters, rebellionists, drug heads, whores. We brought them in and said, preacher, pray for her. She wants to be saved. She will never save. She just went along doing her thing the way she wanted to, in a religious way. They will never say. When a man is truly delivered, he's delivered. And from the foundation of the earth, he ordains that. It's scripture. It's scripture. It's scripture. So it doesn't trouble me when I see men falling away. It doesn't. When I say it doesn't trouble me, I know it's the fulfillment of word. It does. But when I hear the things that these folks are doing, it troubles me because I say, Father, where did I miss it? I said to my wife like that, what did I do? I searched my life, see what I did. What did I say? I reproved. I will take that back. My heart was sincere in preaching the truth. I may have said things that were not thoroughly understood, but that didn't make you fall. You shouldn't have. Besides, you said a lot of things the apostles didn't understand. He said, well, I'm not going to put too much burden on you for you to understand these things. By and by, you understand. I may have done all those things. Cruel, yep. Unprofessional, if I must use that expression, yep. All those things. I receive all those judgments. But I've not denied the faith. I've not denied it. Crudish in my approach, yeah. I've been that way. I've been everything you can think I've been. I won't deny it. And so have you. But I haven't denied the faith. My heart hasn't been cold toward him. Even toward his people. I will never do the way he has done me. Even yesterday when I talked to him, the look that I wouldn't do that to him. Matter of fact, I wanted him to bless the table yesterday with the look he had on. I said, no, Father, this spirit is so wrong. And that's sad. And see, if I was cruel to him, I've shown love and a fatherly kindness too. And this is what I received. This is the reward from this boy. I sit down with him and talk. And I talk very candid to him. A young man like Chris has never done that. And this is the reward. So you had Deacon Bennett to talk to him. You talk to him. And yet this is how corrupt this boy is. Even that lad, when he came to me and said, Pastor, well, I want to know this and that. And even when I showed him his scriptures, his heart was changed, sister. He was broken. He was. He went away a new creature. He wasn't the same boy that came to me. I stood there and showed him right in scriptures. And I even tried to deal with totally different. I told him as soon as these young men, even things that I said I would do. And this is the reward. And yet the world will rape him, his soul. And he thinks he's a man. He thinks he's tough for one thing. And you better get that spirit off him because in the world, they're going to kill him. That's the truth. You know, I was reading today how that Washington, D.C. has reclaimed the murder capital of the world. It's taken that from Detroit. You know, for many years, Detroit was a place. You think, go back to a place like that of death. And so Washington, D.C. is the murder capital of the world today. You talk about a place that actually in the District of Columbia have less people than Charlotte. And it's just Negroes killing Negroes. That's all it is. That's what it is. These Negro boys killing each other. And that weep in those boys are gone. They're going to die. Or they're going to prison. It's sad because what you call the black boys, that their minds are so corrupt. They have no aspiration but what the world offers. And to, you know, you look at the white race, at least you got a cadre of those that have certain aspiration and turn on that brain. But you look at all of them, they all want the same thing. They want to twist their butts like a rap hammer. They want to walk around with their pants hanging off their nasty buttocks. It's a homosexual style. That style came from the prison houses. The faggots did that to tell men, come get me. That's where that style come from. They wear their pants off like the homosexuals in prison, the faggots, the gays. And men today, they're gay. They call themselves gay. Well, you're gay, man. You're gay. So today, young men today, they don't understand love because they don't know how to love, because they are willing to submit and to learn. Very few men today, it's sad. They ain't nobody still faithful by me no more than this husband and wife right here. Even Sister Dean. Even as the enemy has tried to talk against me, to a mind against me, and yet she is held fast to the faith. And they're selfish and they're greedy. They're seeking their own. And they're going to die seeking their own. There's only one thing to seek. Seek ye first the kingdom of Yahweh and all of his righteousness. And they're not seeking that. How can a man love his family? Tell me. How does a man love his family? How does he love his wife? How does he love his children? When he gives them over unto Satan. That ain't love. Man love Yahweh by keeping his commandments. Then he will show love to his wife. That's children. When a man can't do that, he can't do that. And he give his daughters and sons over to darkness. You don't think it's real? They're watching Madonna and Britney Spears kiss like that. She actually got her tongue in her mouth. Madonna got her mouth open. Spears got her mouth open. She put the tongue in her mouth. That's what wickedness, Father. This is what they feed the children today. This is what the parents give them. Give them these heathens that break one another's back, crack each other's bones, break each other's legs. When they go out there, they're subject to everything. That's the truth. That's why Yahweh brought the house out. He put them in the wilderness that they may serve him. And he put a man in the midst that he could speak his laws unto. He didn't speak them to every last one of them. And he told them to bring the 70 elders up, and I want to make myself known to them that you may have a witness. And yet the whole house rebelled. He killed them all the old heads. And I watch what he's done here. The old heads, they've just about gone on. Just a few. And even the young ones, when they went in, they rebelled. And that's why it blessed my heart to see the young men, the few we have. I've never been concerned about numbers. I'm not concerned about that. There's that brother down in Atlanta. I talked to him the other day, and the brother's heart is so discouraged because of, I understand that. I said, Pastor, I understand. I ought to understand what your heart is going through, the things in your mind, what you have to battle. I understand that. I understand that. He's thinking about just giving up, just quitting, just throwing in his hand. I won't do that. Nobody here but Elder Martin, Sister Dean. We're going to preach. I'll come in this house. We won't have to come to this place. We'll leave it like this. She didn't keep it clean. We'll help her. And we have service. That's what we're going to do. Brother Jermaine, we were fishing yesterday. I wanted to say to him, I would say, son, if everybody leaves, you all just stay here. You and Aquila, just stay. Just stay. Just hold on. Just stay, son. You and him and Jermaine, just stay. The little wife to be, just stay, brother. Just your few. All in the world, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. I got me a Cadillac, I got me a Mercedes. And that's what David said, I love your commandments more than gold, more than fine gold. And men don't love his commandments today. They don't love it. They don't know how to love. When I was your age, I wish I had a man like Pastor Roberts. Talk to me. Work out with me. Good daddy. I wish I had that. I've never had that. I've had older men that I liked and admired, but I never had that. I thought about that yesterday. Brother Dolphus and I, we were talking. I said, Brother Dolphus, you got enough money to take care of business? He said, man, Pastor, I said, I'll tell you what, I give you half, you take half, and I got half. We both broke, so we. And I thought about that as I walked off from him. When I was in the military, Saints, there were men like Ziegler, had Oprah Winfrey in Poland. It was a Caucasian man. I wish I had the pictures. I burned them all up. He was a Caucasian. He was a white boy. He was from a wealthy family too. But he was I liked that white boy. I really loved him. We would go places together. I was such a fool that he and I went to St. Louis, Missouri. Do you hear me? And we were about to go into West Chicago. Come on, taking a white boy amongst them fools up there. They just get the both of us. But we hung out together. And truly when we separated, my heart hurt because I liked the boy. I liked him and he liked me. No prejudice, no white boy, black boy thing. It was just two friends. But my friends in the military, if old Ziegler needed $50 in his mom, I said, come on, man, take it. We didn't look for no money back. We took care of each other. We looked after each other. If I need $100, come on, Ziegler, I need a little bit. TK, come on, man. Hey, bro, Rob, here it is. That's how we did each other. And it was no system of, I loan you 50, you got to pay it back. No, we had just a group of friends, about 8 or 10 of us, that if one had a dollar, we all had it. No one was selfish. And it was good that you could give your friend a dollar and you'd be broke. That was a sense of a oneness, that was a camaraderie you had for each other. And that's the way we did it. That's the way we did things. If one had a dollar, we all had a dollar. If one had $50, we all shared the $50. That's the way we did it. And it wasn't a thing about you pay me my 10 back. We didn't do that. We didn't do that. We didn't do that. I remember when I was in basic, these boys from Atlanta, they thought they were tough. And of course, they didn't like me. I didn't care. And so one day, we had a fight. I dusted him up real good. And so what he did in the barracks, you live in the military, they had those big old brooms, them big black brooms, they were about that big around. I never forget this old white boy. He was scuffing me. He's a tough old white boy, though. The boy got the broom when he came. It was big around as this. And the way he swung, if he'd hit me, he'd have killed me. And when he saw that, when the white boy saw the broom, really, when he saw him coming to hit me, it was three of them now. He pushed me, bam. When he pushed me, I hit the bunk, I rolled over, and when he hit the side of that bunk, the broom shattered. And when I did that, I rolled over and I ran. Because all three of them, I whipped one of their boys, and all three of them were going, I wasn't going to try that. I was a little mad. I was only about 175 pounds. One of them, he was a big boy. So I ran. And that was an old white boy that he was tough. I was scared of him and he was scared of me. I didn't want to fight him. He was a tough boy. He was a very wealthy boy, but he was tough. He didn't care who you were. He didn't care. He would fight anybody. And so one day we were getting close to graduating. He and I had a fight right there amongst all these folks. Of course, he didn't get the best of me, and I didn't get the best of him. But I was afraid enough not to mess with him. And, of course, he was afraid enough not to mess with me. So that was coached by me. I don't want to fight him. And one of those guys that was jumping was going to help him to fight me. This boy had a fight with him. Knocked all his teeth out. Just hit him one time. And, of course, I rejoiced he knocked his teeth out. I did. He knocked every one of all these teeth out. So here, another day, he knocked him out. Bam! He knocked them all out of his system. He knocked the man's teeth out. Because he was a strong, muscular looking boy. But even in that, it was regard for each other. He didn't mess with me, and I sure wasn't going to mess with him. And those men that were in our camaraderie, our circle, we looked after them. We really did. We had a love for each other. You know, it was a little different than the pure love of Yahweh, but it was a love. It was concern for each other. And we looked after each other. We did. And so that's what Brother Dolphins and I were just showing yesterday. He goes out, he helps us still. Come on, man. You got 100? Give me half. You take half. Matter of fact, I gave more than half. What was I going to do with nothing? Just hold on to it. So what? And that's what the Father wants. But these men, they are seeking their own. They're not concerned about the things of the body. And they're going to all die, sister. I'm just telling you. What do you pray for, Maureen? Pray, your will be done, Father. Hannah says to me, Victoria said, you're my daddy. I said, I'm not your daddy. That's your daddy right there. See that picture? Big daddy. What's his name? Who's that man there? She said to me, my daddy, he hugs me like this, Pastor Rob. I said, all right, I'll hug you like that. I said, what do you say when he hugs you? I said, thank you. I said, okay, thank you. I said, what did he say to you? He said, bless you. I said, all right, bless you. She said, you're my daddy? I said, no. I said, that's your daddy. See that man on the picture? That's him. Big Daddy Lindsay. I said, that's the man. And of course, I love Brother Lindsay. I do. I love the brother. He doesn't have to walk in those kind of moody spirits he walk in. He can change that. Yeah, he can. Sure he can. And he's not going to do it here. I don't care if he doesn't love me. That's all right. Chris will love me. Nick will love me. Richard will love me. That's all right. But Nee Smith sure loves me. That's right, Mama. He loves me. Sure, that's all right. He doesn't have to. His sister loves me. Could I say all the things I said to you? Nah, chase bride for your husband. You know, I thought earlier, I said, no, Father, who'd I let walk her down the aisle? I thought about Deacon Benny. I said, nah, what would be a fitting thing if this boy's heart was right? I said, him. Huh? I don't even know if I'd do that. That's all right. Deacon Benny has to do it. That's all right. And it's sad. It really is. No other young man acts that way but him. Not Brother Josh. Where's Brother Josh? Is he sick? Brother Josh. Oh, I thought that was Jason. May Yahweh bless you. Be encouraged, saints. For the King is coming. You all pray for Brother Greg down there in Atlanta. Brother's going through trials. I may go down and have a service with him on Tuesday night. Come back that next morning. I believe I will. He's a good brother. He got a good spirit. Things he just don't know, but tell him to come up here and preach. I told him to send me some of his tapes. Put them on the broadcast here. Trouble and anguish upon me, David said. I remember thy commandments. I kept thy commandments, for they are my delight. And that's what we're going to have to do. Walk in the commandments of Yahweh. That's our delight, saints. It should be a wonderful thing that we can live with each other. I don't want to change that. As I was walking this morning, I said, as long as Yahweh granted unto us with a little finance, I will always do things to enhance the place and to make it even more livable. Even though it's livable, I will always do those things to beautify it, you know, to make aesthetics or changes to be pleasing to the eyes. I will always do that as long as he gives me the finance and the wherewithal to do that. And to make sure that there's comfort here for all the saints. I don't want to live no grander life and you live something different. It's the same. We're one, the house. And I like that. I like what you always done. I just like this little group here. I like what we have here. I do. You saints who live here, I'm grateful for that. All of you. I'm very grateful. I'm not looking at no one and nobody. I'm just holding on. They were singing that song the other night. I said, they just need to. Who's singing that? People get ready. You know who sang that song? Are you singing that? Who wrote that song? You know who wrote that song? His name was Curtis Mayfield. That was the first song they called a crossover. People get ready. There's a train a coming. You don't need no ticket. You just think your way. You got to draw down from the well. You got to get down deep. Don't worry about making a mistake. All you need is faith. You see, all the songwriters are saying that. Johnny Cash, y'all. Everybody's saying that song. Johnny Cash, you name it. They're saying that. He's dead now. But his name was Curtis Mayfield. He wrote that song. It was about 1968. He wrote that song. Curtis Mayfield. People get ready. And there's been sang in different forms. Everybody. That's a good song. I like it. May you God, we bless you. Stand to our feet. Be encouraged. Father, bless your people. Go with them. Give them strength. I pray in your sure name. Bless you all.